Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra, Wagner's Ring Cycle, Part 4, Götterdämmerung. So, we're thrilled that you've all joined us for a performance of the fourth and final opera in Richard Wagner's Ring Cycle, Götterdämmerung, translated as Twilight of the Gods. The Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra brings you an international cast of principal singers, the Hong Kong Philharmonic Chorus, joined by choirs from Germany and Latvia, and your very own orchestra, conducted by our music director, Jaap van Zweden. My name is Michael McLeod. I'm the chief executive, and I'm also joined by the Wagner expert, Sue Elliott, formerly director of education at Seattle Opera, and now with the Royal Conservatory of Music in Toronto. She has graced us with her presence in a variety of guises since Das Rheingold in 2015, the first of the Ring operas. Thank you, Sue, and welcome.
It's wonderful to be back. Thank you, Michael.
So I'd love you to tell us what we're in store for with this opening prologue in Act One.
Okay, well, we've got so much up. First up, typically when this is performed, we have five scenes in total to start off your experience in the concert hall this evening. And I think one of the most important notes is that we're going to perform that all without intermission, and that runs slightly longer than 2 hours. So I'd encourage everyone in the audience to make use of the restrooms before the performance begins.
Huh.
So from the beginning of Das Rheingold, the first opera in the cycle, the gods and the Nibelungs have been trying to gain permanent possession of a golden ring that allows the wearer omnipotent power. The giant Fasolt was murdered by his brother Fafnir, who used the magic Tarnhelm, or helmet, to become a dragon capable of protecting that ring. One of Wotan's children, Siegmund, conceives a son, Siegfried, with his twin sister Sieglinde, whose husband ends up killing Siegmund. Sieglinde's half-sister Brunhilde, the lead Valkyrie, betrays her father Wotan, loses her status as a god, and goes on to become Siegfried's soulmate, for a little while at least. Now, if you're worried about that plot synopsis of, let's say, 10 hours worth of opera, don't. If you haven't seen any of the previous operas in the Ring Cycle, don't worry. Wagner starts the story with two scenes in the prologue that lay the groundwork for the rest of the opera. In the first scene of the prologue, we meet new characters, three Norns, who are characters that represent fate. In fact, in other stories and myths, they're called the Fates. One of them represents the past, a second Norn is focused on the present, and the third Norn is all about the future. There's definitely a timeless quality to the Norns and to their music. And the story they tell is a big one. While they sing in a staged production, they're often weaving or spinning or braiding the rope of destiny or rope of fate. And near the end of their first and only scene in the entire cycle, the rope is snapped by the power of the curse on the ring, and the Norns leave the stage to join their mother, the earth goddess Erda. We don't see or hear from the Norns ever again. The second scene of the prologue offers us a completely different world than the Norns. It's the world of rapturous love and features two leading characters in our story, the former Valkyrie goddess Brunhilde and Siegfried, the supposed free hero who may or may not save the world. Listen to the difference in music between the Norn scene and the second scene. When that second scene begins, I think it's clear to our ears that we're in a very different time and place. When Act One begins, we meet three additionally new characters, Gunther and Gutruna Gibich, who are brother and sister. And we also meet Hagen, their half-brother, who is the son of Alberich, the first antagonist in the Ring Cycle. Alberich conceived Hagen as a foil to Siegfried in hopes that Hagen can win back that all-important golden ring so that Alberich can in turn rule the world. The Gibiches are a ruling family, and the opening conversation among Gunther, Gutruna, and Hagen is focused on ensuring that their bloodlines continue. You know, the conversation that royal families have around the dinner table every so often. We learn during this scene that they're not above manipulation and scheming to get what they want. It's a timeless plotline that every so often we see playing out in the news in real life these days. As the audience, we're witness to the creation of their scheme, and part of the joy of this opera is sitting while it all unfolds for the other unwitting characters in this tale. The second scene of Act I begins with Siegfried arrives at the Gibich Palace, and Wagner uses him to remind us of the story we've seen earlier in the Ring cycle. Here, Siegfried recounts the adventures by which he has come to possess the Golden Ring and the magic Tarnhelm helmet, and he also describes his relationship with Brunhilde. Siegfried is offered a drink, which is actually a potion designed to erase Brunhilde from his memory. Once that has taken effect, Siegfried agrees to help Gunther win Brunhilde as his wife, and they set off on a trip back to her. In the meantime, one of Brunhilde's Valkyrie sisters comes to visit her, and it's not a comfortable conversation for either of them. Valtrauta, in her narration, tells us that Wotan and the gods await their destruction, and she begs Brunhilde to return the ring to the Rhine daughters. But Brunhilde refuses to do so on the grounds that she would be throwing away Siegfried's love. Valtrauta leaves without having accomplished her mission, and what happens next is a great way to end an act of opera. I don't want to spoil it for you, so I'll leave you to see what happens on stage. Now, Michael, do you want to talk a little bit about any of the cast members that we're going to see on stage in Act I?
Sure, I'd love to. We've got a tremendous cast of Wagnerian experts. Now, most people, when they think of Wagner, think of Brunhilde or Siegfried. But in fact, the person who's got the biggest role in Götterdämmerung is arguably Hagen, because he's in more scenes than any of the others. And we've got the amazing Erik Hafvalsson, who sounds as if he's Nordic, but in fact is an American and has been singing this role all over the world. And it is so, so impressive. But we've got a great Siegfried as well in Daniel Brenner. Gunn-Britt Barkman makes her debut as Brunhilde, sensationally beautiful voice. And we have Chinese singer Shen Yang as Gunther, along with Amanda Majewski as Gutruna. And then Alberich, who, you know, the ring cycle could have been called Alberich.
Mm-hmm. For
the
sure.
entire cycle could have been called Alberich.
Mm-hmm.
And in Götterdämmerung, he's only in one scene, mm-hmm. and yet it's pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
So although he doesn't have that many notes, it's a very important role, and we have the great Peter Kallmann for that. And we've also brought Michel de Jong back, who's Valtrauta, wonderful, wonderful American singer. So it's a great cast. And, you know, I'll speak more about the chorus and the role of the chorus later, but everyone's in for a treat.
Because we're finally going to get some chorus in this opera.
Yes, indeed.
After 10 or 11 hours of Ring Cycle with no chorus.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can talk about them in a little bit. Fantastic. Well, now that everyone's all up to speed on the prologue and Act I of Wagner's Götterdämmerung, I encourage you to sit back in your seat and surrender to Wagner's time, his story, and all of your thoughts and feelings as this monumental tale begins to unfold.